Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Jacob Stinnett from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me in the studio is Brian Smith from the Diocese of Youngstown. Let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together today to speak about Brian's vocation, the way that you've called him to service in your church. We pray for all of those who give their lives to you in service to your church, whether it be through priesthood, religious life, or marriage. Now let's pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So as I said, today we're going to be talking about Brian's vocation story. All vocations come to us as a gift from God. They're called vocations, in the Latin, to call. It's a calling that comes from God. So it's given to us in baptism and nurtured in the family, in the home. So Brian, why don't you begin? Tell us a little bit about your family life, how that was influential in planting the little seed for your vocation.
So I'm from Massillon, Ohio, from a family of three boys with my parents. I'm the oldest of the three sons, and my brothers and I were born very close to one another, so we kind of grew up together. My next youngest brother is married and lives in Japan with his two kids and his wife, and my youngest brother is married as well. So in my childhood growing up, my parents brought us up in the church. We went to Catholic schools, you know, from when we were young all the way through high school. And they're just really focused on making sure that we had our sacraments, that we were growing in the faith. And I'm sure that in that part of my life, I know that in that part of my life, you know, seeds were being planted. And I grew up, you know, between two parishes, my mom's family's home parish and my home parish. And also, I can look back at those experiences. I see how the examples that I was seeing in the pastors left a mark on my life. And it's something that I, you know, continue to be able to look back on and draw from.
Certainly. So. Was there anything that you've been able to reflect on growing up in Catholic education that specifically helped in putting the idea of vocation in your mind or spurring you on towards priesthood?
Going to Catholic school, I think it helped me to develop a sense of how the faith permeates life, you know, how it touches just all the different parts of not only what we're learning, which is what we focus on in school, but just all the parts of human experience. So I think that was one of the most important things that I took from Catholic schooling. Not to mention just having, you know, many teachers, especially in grade school, who really nurtured the faith in different ways. You know, most of my teachers growing up were women in grade school, and they were, you know, very much interested in seeing us grow and, you know, love God and be happy in the church. So that was something that benefited me greatly as a kid. And it's something that, you know, laid a good foundation for my life of faith and my life in the church.
It's something about what John Paul II would call the feminine genius about passing on the faith, especially mothers and grandmothers. That's like almost the core of their vocation. Wonderful. So you went through Catholic grade school, you went to a Catholic high school.
Yes.
Then what did you do with your life?
After graduating from Central Catholic High School in Canton, I studied at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana. So I stayed in Catholic school. I've pretty much been in Catholic school since first grade.
Wonderful.
To this day. And at the University of Notre Dame, I studied language. That was and continues to be one of my big passions, you know, learning different languages and learning about different cultures.
Certainly. And how many languages are you fluent in? I know it's several.
I'm fluent in two, I would say, English and Spanish. But I do like to dabble in other languages. So I've studied French and some of the other languages related to Spanish and French, like Portuguese and Italian. Mm-hmm. And then with my brother living in Japan, I've learned a little Japanese and a few other things.
Awesome.
I like to say when other kids were playing video games, I was studying languages. But that was the focus of my study at the University of Notre Dame. But my time there, it was, as for many people, you know, college was just full of so many experiences that helped me to grow and see the world with new eyes. And being at a Catholic university and having in the residence halls, you know, a chapel where we had Mass every week and, you know, a community of faith, even in the place where I was living, that was something that really helped me to take the first steps of owning my faith and, you know, not just doing the things that I was brought up learning to do and going through the motions, but finally taking on my relationship with God and my place in the church as something more personal and something that I had a responsibility for and, you know, that I was developing and, you know, asserting as my own. So that was a really big turning point in my life of faith. And I would say it's really when my vocation discernment really started, which isn't to say that I can't look back now and see times when I was younger, and then especially times in high school when, you know, either through the examples of other people or through the things people would say, you know, God was speaking to me about my vocation, but I wasn't really attuned to them or didn't know how to respond.
Sure.
Until, you know, that third in my, especially my senior year of college, when I really started to think about it for the first time.
So college is where you started maybe actively discerning your vocation.
Another big thing that I wanted to mention about my time at Notre Dame was that not only was there, you know, a chapel in the residence halls, but there were priests living in all the residence halls, all the men's halls at least, and then in the women's halls, there were some priests in residence or some sisters. The University of Notre Dame is run by a religious order called the Congregation of Holy Cross. So as I got to know some of those priests, not just in their ministry as priests, but kind of in the downtime, that was a really big part of my discernment too, where I finally got to see, you know, what a priest is like in all the dimensions of his life. And I got to see some new models of a priest compared to, you know, what I'd seen growing up. Some great pastors growing up, but through a difference in age and just through the way I looked to them, like as authority figures. Now I was getting to know priests on a more, you know, intimate, friendly level.
Sure.
And that was something that I finally started to feel maybe God is calling me to this in my life.
Right. You spoke earlier about Notre Dame. One of the things that you loved about Notre Dame is the Catholic community there.
Mm-hmm.
How has being part of a Catholic community or various Catholic communities mm-hmm. over your life influenced your discernment?
Well, I think it'd be helpful to move on to, you know, what happened after I graduated from college to answer your question, because after I graduated from Notre Dame, I moved to Chile in South America for three years. I was working with the Congregation of Holy Cross, so I kept up that connection, but I was doing that as a layman. I wasn't necessarily discerning a religious vocation with them, but I lived in a community there with other recent graduates of Holy Cross universities. So specifically, I was living with, I was living in a community with a man who had graduated from the University of Portland in Oregon, and a woman who had graduated from St. Mary's College near Notre Dame. So we were forming a very intentional Catholic community of, you know, work with the Congregation of Holy Cross, but also sharing at home different elements of our faith, the challenges we were facing in our work, and, you know, how our faith was informing those. And we were also just helping one another to grow, sometimes, you know, in spite of ourselves, helping one another to grow by living so close to one another and, you know, learning to make compromises and see how our personalities either complemented or did not complement one another. So that Catholic community was one of the most intentional ones I've ever lived in outside of seminary, I would say. And that was the time where I really started to enter into vocational discernment.
Thanks, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Jacob Stinnett from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me in the studio is Brian Smith from the Diocese of Youngstown. Today we're talking about Brian's vocation story, and he's getting into the value of being part of an intentional Catholic community and how important that is for discerning one's vocation. It's important whether you're called to priesthood, to marriage, whatever God's calling you to.
So besides that community that I was living with in Chile, I was continuing to work with the religious community of Holy Cross. And one other important thing that I wanted to mention in this stage of my discernment was that I started to meet with a spiritual director for the first time. And that was something really influential, because I can look back at my last years in college when I mentioned, you know, I first started thinking about a religious vocation. And I can see how I needed to grow in certain ways, like retrospectively. I'm like, I wasn't mature enough to make that decision yet because I didn't understand entirely, you know, what the commitment of life is, you know, being a priest and, you know, certain other elements of just, you know, growing into my faith. So as I was living in Chile, seeing a spiritual director for the first time, I really started to take some bigger steps in my growth as a man, as a Christian, and as a result, started to enter more deeply into my vocational discernment.
Great. For those of our listeners who maybe don't know what a spiritual director is or the importance of spiritual direction, especially in discerning one's vocation, can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. So a spiritual director is someone, it doesn't have to be a priest. In my case, it was. But it's someone that, you know, a Christian we'll meet with to talk through, you know, the ways God is working in life. And it's focused especially on growth, personal growth and spiritual growth. And even though the name is spiritual director, the director is often trying to just help the directee, so me in this case, you know, see better, you know, what is it that God is trying to tell you in your life? Either related to your vocation or just relating to, you know, the movements of God, you know, how God is calling you to be a Christian in the context that you're living in. So, you know, leading someone to see the way God is talking to you and communicating with you.
Right.
I think that's the main thing.
And having a spiritual director is so helpful because it gives us someone to talk to, someone who has a relationship with God. Hey, this is how this works. Here are signs you can look for
right.
in your life, trying to make sense of this mystery that is our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So, started meeting with the spiritual director.
Right. I ended up working in Chile for 3 years total. And during that time, getting to know Holy Cross more and more, I was drawn to the work Holy Cross was doing. I loved the possibility of returning to Chile even in the future. I liked the idea of community as well. And I ended up, you know, applying to the Congregation of Holy Cross and wrapped up my time working at the school where I was in Chile. And I moved back to the States. And the year I moved back, Holy Cross asked me to take one more year. They said, we want you to apply a year later. So let's stay in touch. And, you know, after a few months, you know, let's see where you are. And you can apply again and maybe we'll get you in next spring. So I was at home, my parents' house, and I was basically thinking, well, I don't want to be a bum for the next year. So I got a job teaching Spanish at a local high school, actually in Youngstown. So I always lived in the diocese, but I never lived in Youngstown proper. Mm-hmm. So I moved to Youngstown, living on my own now. So a new sense of community and, you know, just... I developed my sense of independence and self-responsibility in ways that were really important for me. And, you know, that first year of teaching, especially, I was just keeping my head above the water. And vocational discernment kind of fell to the back burner.
Sure, there were a lot more pressing issues in your life.
Yeah, lesson plans, grading papers and tests and things like that.
Right.
So by the time I did get around to, you know, thinking about Holy Cross again and vocational discernment, I was all of a sudden really immersed in the life of a new city, back in the diocese, now as a grown man, where I could, you know, see things a little more clearly than when I was younger. And since I was living in Youngstown on my own, I was making new friendships with my colleagues at Herson High School or with young adult groups at some of the parishes in the area. And, you know, I really got to see more what the church in the Diocese of Youngstown was like. And, you know, once I returned to thinking about vocation again, I was really seeing more and more what the needs of the church in the Diocese of Youngstown were and how those were things that I was feeling called to respond to. And religious life was still something I was thinking about, but more and more the draw was toward the church in the Diocese of Youngstown. So one of the ways that I saw that especially clearly was through my students and their families. I was teaching Spanish, as I mentioned, so not something directly related to the priesthood, or, you know, I wasn't teaching religion, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But as much as I loved teaching Spanish and still love the excuse to speak it and, you know, teach it to other people to this day, I found, you know, some of my students seeing something in me that, you know, I wanted to do more and more. And that was, you know, it even started out as a joke, really. Students would, after prayer at the beginning of class, they would ask me a question about, you know, something the church teaches or something going on, because they knew that I would entertain discussion for a few minutes. And that meant that we would start class a few minutes later. So it started out as a little bit of a game. But a funny thing happened in that, you know, some of the more reflective and, you know, the students who were more interested in talking about those things started to even come see me after school, and they would ask me some questions related to the same topics. And I found myself really not only enjoying those conversations, but even wanting to be better prepared and better formed to talk to my students about that, and wanting to give more and more of my time to things like that, to be there for my students and even for their families, you know, seeing in them some desire that, you know, I could meet and that I could help lead them to grow in their relationship with God and with the church. So in the end, once I actually got around to, you know, vocation again after teaching for a year or two, I was really thinking about the Diocese of Youngstown, and I ended up applying, and now I've been at the Josephinum for these 5 years and, you know, moving along towards ordination for the diocese.
That's wonderful. You talk about your skills and seeing them being very useful and needed in the Diocese of Youngstown, especially your love for teaching, which is such an important part in the life of the priest. How do you see your love for teaching inspiring you as a seminarian and as part of your, God willing, future ministry for the Diocese of Youngstown?
Well, I'm always grateful for the opportunity to be in the schools, for example, or the opportunity to share with other people things that might help them grow in their faith. And I think especially with young people, I may not be, you know, the most dynamic and engaging person, but I really love the opportunity to go encourage and, you know, help young people see the beauty of the faith and the ways that their relationship with God is going to enrich their life and not just, you know, be another duty or be, you know, something else boring. But I love to help people see the way that faith helps us be, you know, just fuller and happier people. So I'm hoping that, you know, through teaching, I can do some of those things, even if it's not in a school, you know, just in parish and in daily interactions.
Sure. Through preaching.
Yeah.
Another example of the way priests exercise that office of teaching. So you've been at the seminary. This is your sixth year there.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some of your favorite experiences or ways that you've grown in your vocation since being in seminary?
Sure. So I mentioned earlier how I was drawn to religious life, and religious life is still something that I really admire. So naturally for me, you know, being in seminary, one of the parts of life there that I most appreciated is the community and the ways that, you know, the other men in seminary especially have pushed me to grow, both through their example and through the ways that we, you know, dialogue with one another and
right.
help each other to see both our skills, because sometimes we can be blind to the things that we're good at, and also to help us see, you know, the things about us that need changing. So I've been really appreciative of that. And, you know, at the Josephinum, we have both a major seminary and a minor seminary. So that means we have guys from the ages of 18 all the way through their 40s and 50s. So seeing how guys of all those different ages, you know, exercise virtue. And by that, I mean like how they show what it means to be, you know, a good person, how they are disciplined. That's been really good for me, and I continue to benefit from it.
Awesome.
It's been one of the biggest things.
So, as a final question for you, what are some ways that seminarians and parishes, priests, families, you know, the whole Catholic Church, what can we do to support vocations, to encourage men who may be discerning a call to the priesthood?
As you mentioned at the beginning of the program, you know, I think really looking back to the family and looking to how in our friendships we can support people who are discerning vocations is really fundamental. So to begin with, you know, encouraging especially young people in our lives to be open to the way God is calling in their lives, and just helping people develop the skills of like, okay, what are the signs that you might look for a vocation? Because we're not talking about just a short story. I had a friend in seminary who shared, and I believe him, but I'm also a little envious of him. He shared that he once was in adoration and the word priest like flashed in front of his eyes. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish I had had such a clear sign at some point in my life.
If God would send neon signs to all of us.
And that's not the experience of most people. So how do we really start to see the way God is calling us? You know, the way people are encouraging us, the way we experience peace and satisfaction from doing God's will, and then we can look back and see, oh wow, this was something that I especially felt, you know, fulfilled doing, or that I especially felt I was at home doing this. So, you know, just developing those skills and encouraging people to be open, not closed off to the way God is leading them in their lives, is going to be important.
Yeah, seeing life as a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Which then requires us to make some sort of response.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always, what do I want to do with my life? As if we're the ones who made our own lives. It's a gift from God. What does God want us to do with this for the world, for his church? And you mentioned the seminarian who had that neon sign flash in front of him, priest, priest, priest.
Mm-hmm.
But he did that in prayer.
Right.
He came to him in prayer.
That's a really important detail. Yeah.
Right. Prayer as the foundation for any vocation. Because our vocation is the way we relate to God. And so building up that relationship,
mm-hmm.
dialogue with him. What are you most excited about looking ahead this year to your diaconate ordination coming up?
Mm-hmm. So my diocese, the Diocese of Youngstown, requires all the seminarians to have a pastoral year. I did that last year. So basically, I spent a year outside of seminary.
Right.
Learning from a pastor and working, in a sense, in a parish. So I really got to experience how fulfilling it is to see, you know, people grow and learn through, you know, my influence. Not to say that I can take all the credit for it, by no means, but just to see that, you know, because of something that I've brought to their attention or some way that I've helped them to see God more clearly in their life, these people are, you know, growing. And, you know, just to know that I've had a little bit of a role in that has been very fulfilling. So I'm looking forward to those opportunities being more and more in the future.
All right. Thank you, Brian, for sharing your vocation story with us, how God has been a part of your life and leading you through it. Thanks for joining us on today's Seminarian Show. I'm Jacob Stinnett from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me in the studio is Brian Smith from the Diocese of Youngstown. All of our episodes are available online and on demand at stgabrielradio.com. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Veni, Sancte.